I think it's really important that those conversations take place first in a spirit of partnership. We're not here to tell anybody, you must do X, you must do Y. We're here to say, this is our perspective as your partner, as your friend. This is what we believe is the best way to achieve both your tactical and strategic goals.
Government's not my friend. I don't know what he's talking about. That's Jake Sullivan, who was speaking, NSA's Jake Sullivan, who was speaking about strategy on Israel, saying, you know, we're not here to tell them what they have to do and what they shouldn't do. But that's exactly what you were doing. That's why Blinken went over there in the first place. Well, twice, actually, in first and second place. Welcome to the program. It is our last broadcast of this year. And you can stream the radio program around the country. You can listen terrestrially, and you can also watch the live stream, the simulcast, DirecTV channel 347. It only took a year, but we got it memorized. Three huge numbers, 347. DirecTV, and you can also check it out, YouTube, Facebook. Lots of good conversation up on YouTube. And I hope you signed up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse, over at Substack. So because we got a full studio today. Yeah. Got a lot of people. There's a lot of shenanigans. Steve is actually in Texas today. Yeah. Normally, he's kind of like a VOG all the way out in D.C., but now he's actually... Yeah. He's here. We got the whole show crew's here. I can see like just the tops of your little heads just over Santa's elves, just right over there. All right. So lots of stuff to hit today, just to get you kind of set up, because we're kind of sliding into what, especially in an election cycle, there's always this weird Christmas season malaise. Thank heavens. I think we're due for some as it pertains to politics, because we all know that coming up after the new year, everybody hits the ground running, and it is crazy time, because you have Iowa, then you have New Hampshire, you get into your early states, then you got Super Tuesday coming up. The campaign kicks off in earnest, and I have refrained from this point of spending an inordinate amount of time on the primary stuff with particular regards to these early states, just because I don't want to inundate you with all this stuff. There's just so much out there. And it's stupid up until 4 weeks until the votes are cast, when it's not stupid. So we're going to start covering that more and more, and we'll get into some of that. As it pertains to Israel, though, we talked about some of this yesterday. It looks like Hamas, there might be a split within their leadership. We'll see. We were given a little bit of the history of Hamas and Fatah and the Palestinian Authority and the whole, you know, West Bank and Gaza, et cetera, et cetera. Because it seems like the solution that the United States government wants to pursue is to force a group who rose in popularity because they didn't think that their neighbor to the north had any right to exist at all whatsoever on this planet. It seems to be that they want to get a group that doesn't want to accept a two-state solution, never wanted to accept a two-state solution, literally has it in their charter not accepting a two-state solution, to accept a two-state solution. Now, I feel like if you've ever tried to get a toddler to eat vegetables, this is like that on steroids. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. You're never going to make this happen. But there seems to be one guy, and we were talking about him, Hamad, the one Hamas, who was living in the one Hamas leader. I think there are several. All of them, though, were living in Qatar. And he left his big old fancy swanky palace in Qatar. And I think he was going, did they ever say it was Lebanon, Algeria? I have no idea why. Maybe Mossad was hunting them down. I don't know. And ended up leaving. And he was saying, okay, well, we could be, you know, prevailed upon to recognize Israel. But the others aren't. I mean, the other spokesperson literally went out there in October. Or no, it was November 1st. He went out there November 1st and was like, we're going to continue to do this. You're going to have a million October 7th. This is never going to end. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep resisting. Resisting what? Like getting free land, getting, you know, free infrastructure. Oh, I'm going to resist getting all these free things. It's like resisting Santa. The irony, though. It's like resisting Santa for Christmas. I mean, you literally got infrastructure, sewer systems, water systems, sewage treatment plants, water treatment plants, greenhouses, industry left for you. As I said yesterday, it's like walking into a turnkey house given to you for free with all the furnishings and all the fixings, fully stocked fridge and everything else. It's like doing all of that, and you're still going to complain. You're still going to complain and moan about it. For what? What are you rebelling against? You got your land. You got all this stuff. Like, what else is there? Oh, we just don't think they should exist. And as you know, that's why Hamas got more popularity than Fatah. And to the point where they won elections in 06 after the unilateral withdrawal in 2005. It's why they ended up actually encroaching on Palestinian Authority's authority in West Bank with Fatah, because the leader of Fatah is leader of Palestinian Authority, said they suspended elections. That's why they haven't had elections, because they enjoyed. I just went over with you yesterday the survey showing that people still like Hamas. Insane. But that's the way it is. Gazans felt overwhelming justification for the October 7th attacks. They felt as though there had been a resistance, a rebellion, and this was the next step. That's troubling. Now you can see why Jordan doesn't want to accept any refugees. You can see why Lebanon doesn't want to accept any refugees. You can see why Egypt, the Rafah crossing, you can see why that's shut down. They don't want to accept any refugees. There's a reason why. And it has nothing to do with the identitarian battles that people want to wage. It has nothing to do with that. I mean, unless you want to say that all the Arab leaders in the Arab states that don't want to take any of these refugees are themselves racist. It has nothing to do with that. It has they don't want to bring people who've been generationally waged to think that terror is a form of policy and diplomacy. It makes sense. Now, so that's one of the things that we are watching. The other thing that we're watching, we got a lot of we got some cultural stuff that we have to hit as well. The economic aspect of this. Let me pull up. We're going to get to some of the economic aspects of this. Remember the video that we posted yesterday? I did not use that woman's screenshot enough. The Dorrance Dance Troupe Company from New York City. Remember them? Kane really enjoyed them. He told me later it really got him into the Christmas season.
Why do you do that?
What?
Why do you lie to people?
I didn't lie. You said it was festive.
Okay. All right, let's go with it. Let's do that.
I might be slightly exaggerating. That's just misspeech, though, right? There's no such thing as lies anymore. It's all misspeech. Oh, I misspeeched. That's what it was. So Dorrance Dance, the New York City-based tap company. Okay, can I stop for 1 second? I swear I'm going to get through this segment. The Nutcracker should never be tapped. No. Oh, my gosh. Juan hates me. Hates me to death. We're going to get cited by somebody from... So, and then the guy with the suit with the flower on his head comes out. That's... What is this? This is like... I've never done acid, but I'm pretty sure this is what it's like. Is this... And then this chick who cannot keep her mouth closed to save her life. What is that? Oh my gosh. It's... If you saw this in your dreams, you'd wake up sweating. You absolutely would. You would wake up in a sweaty mess... If you saw this in your house, you'd call the police. And you, because I just don't think it's meant to be tapped. I'm a purist. I'm never going to stop complaining about it enough. Never. So I do appreciate that it's kind of old school tap, and it's not like the Savion Glover type. Although I like the Glover type poofing. I think it's great. So anyway, so this dance troupe, kind of interesting, this group. It's a New York City based top dance company, and they did the Nutcracker Suite in the White House. I wonder who buffed the floors after that, by the way. They also, I don't know if you're aware of their little website. Are you all aware of that? No. So they have a whole bunch of DEI stuff on their website. And they also have a page dedicated to teaching white people to check their privilege. Have you checked your privilege, Kane, for the half of you that's white? Have you checked it today?
I check it every day, I think.
Like when they say check your privilege, what does that mean? I have a very Beavis and Butthead understanding of this.
Honestly, I have no clue.
Is it a card that you can swipe?
No.
So is it like if hold up. Is it like if I go to Costco and buy mass quantities and then I go through the checkout, do I get to wait a minute, no. Move over, Amex, and then I take out my white privilege card and I swipe it and I get to leave and then it just charges the ether? Is that what it is?
No, I don't think that's how it goes.
I'm just curious because I always hear check your white privilege. Is it a parcel, perhaps, that one must check at the door?
Don't think that's it either.
Like the nuclear football that the president always carries around and he's got a dude to carry it for him?
I mean, it sounds like that could be right, but I don't think that's...
Do you have somebody to carry your white privilege for you? Or is that a bougie thing to ask?
That's ultra white privilege, right? There.
That seems like that would be super white privilege. Almost as white privilege as demanding no one else can be armed, but you can afford the armed security. Right. I'm just curious what checking white privilege means. I mean, growing up poor... And having to eat gravy, milk gravy and biscuits every single day, being raised by a single mother who worked three jobs. I don't know. Like, is that white privilege? Is that white privilege? I'm not quite sure. Not being able to afford notebook paper when I went to elementary school. Is that white privilege? Because if that's white privilege, my gosh, what's above that? Like, what's white exaltation? Is that, do I have to go to a level higher in order to be able to afford notebook paper? You know, because my white privilege has afforded me so much. I'm just curious. So they have this whole page talking about checking white privilege. And then they state, being mindful of who slash what is financially supporting the candidates you vote for. And then they link to BLM and this other organization, SURJ, which is dedicated to, quote, organizing white people for racial justice. Now, I know that this was unintentional, but they sound like the Klan.
You're not wrong.
Did they mean to? I just...
It's accidental.
Accidental. So that seems like a real nice group you hired there. That's all that... You couldn't find anyone else? You're telling me that there is not a dance group? Does everybody... This is the nature of DEI. Everybody's got to be involved in this hustle now. That's great. We love that you can rearrange guts, Dr. Smith, but where do you stand on DEI? Where do you stand on CRT? Where do you stand on these items? Well, because that's actually more important than your gut arranging skills, Dr. Smith. You laugh, but we're going for that. You know this, right? That's right where we're heading. You're going to be going one day, heaven forbid, you're going to be going to a doctor and you're going to be trying to go to the most qualified cat out there. But they are going to determine who is qualified by if they can bend their knee to the point of like bending it into a noodle. Like if they can, they're going to be judged on how well they obey as opposed to how talented they are as a medical practitioner. This is already happening. This is coming. Well, I really hate white people. Does that make you're hired? I mean, I'm just.
It's pretty much like that now.
That's kind of like it. It's like, why does it even have to be a thing? Can you just tap dance for the love of all things holy? Can you just do the damn nutcracker? Can you just do that? It's so simple. Why does everything have to be made annoying? Golly, there's enough drama in the world. All right, so some of the other stuff we're hitting today. Somebody beheaded the devil shrine in Iowa, and the devil people are like, that's so hateful. Can you believe they did that? It's so mean. To the devil? Like, I don't... We're going to talk about that coming up. Also, dude, literally, there's a 50-something-year-old dude who competed against, like, high school chicks. And as a... He identified as... It's a long story. Yeah. That happened.
Oh, boy.
Can I identify as whatever I want? Because, Kane, you got to fly Southwest. You're going to identify as a high-calorie person.
That's
high-calorie
right.
Human.
To get that extra seat.
You're going to identify so that you can get three seats.
That's right. It's buy one, get one free.
Can I identify as a billionaire and go into the bank and just be like, where's my check? If it's not in my account, you are mean to me. And I can be like, I am a black billionaire. You're racist and mean. See? There's like all kinds of stuff we can do. All right, we got a lot on the way as we move our partners over at the Headrest Safe. This is a Christmas gift that you need to have. In fact, do what I do. One for me, one for you. That's the best way to do. I love shopping like that. It's so great. It's Christmas for me and you. The Headrest Safe, though, this is so brilliant. I could tell you about the regular Headrest Safe. The one you need to get is the Headrest Slide. This is so cool. First off, it was awarded the Editor's Choice Award by Concealed Carry Magazine. Best in class vehicle safes. Now, it's designed as a gun safe. Yes. You can put anything in it, though. Think about if you're traveling, if you're going on a road trip, you're getting on a plane, whatever it is that you're doing. You want to be able to keep your stuff safe. Even if you don't have your firearm or a firearm, period, you want to be able to get your jewelry, your medication, your cash, any other valuables. And the Headrest Slide, you can get the housing for it, the headrest safe, and the slide can just literally, that's what it is, slides in and out of the headrest housing, locks in place while in the housing. When you need it with you, unlock the safe, slide it out and go. And it's also TSA compliant. And if you have multiple vehicles, you have multiple housing units, you can take your slide with you from vehicle to vehicle. I mean, you were never, never out of a safe storage solution. You can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds thanks to the magnetic access door and a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. And they also have a keypad and a hard key. So it is the most innovative product out there. Best vehicle safe. Everything else is so obvious, and this isn't, and they can match the interior about over 85% of vehicle interiors. They can match it. So experience it for yourself. TheHeadrestSafe.com. Use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's TheHeadrestSafe.com. Code Dana for $50 off, 100% money back guarantee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Was that a Steve selection? Is that what you were jamming over there?
Yeah, I put on the board.
Is that your Christmas jam?
Yeah.
That's your Christmas scene. Yeah. Steve is used to, he's rocking over there during break. So Coca-Cola has recalled 2,000 cases of drinks due to potential contamination. That's a lot. It's not just Coke either. It's, geez, Diet Coke too? Fanta? 2,000 cases of Sprite, Diet Coke, Fanta in the Deep South because of potential foreign materials in the can. Is that like more or less dangerous than like the actual soda?
Right.
The foreign materials in the can. I'm curious. They said that the specific places that they're looking at are Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. They said that the cans may contain a foreign material, and they don't tell you exactly what it is. Like, are we talking about, like, fingers and toes? Like, when you say foreign material, what, like, what are we talking about here? Like, that can mean, like, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, what does that mean? A naked dude was found atop... Oh, this is a horrible story. I don't even want to read this. Why is this in headlines? Oh!
It's Friday.
Yeah! It's right before Christmas. I have to say a prayer. So this dude decapitated his mom and then, I guess, tried to hide her body by laying on her naked. This is in Jersey Shore. Oh, I don't even want to talk about this story anymore. It's so gross. Everybody in Jersey probably knows about it now, but I don't want to talk about it anymore. So let's, I don't like some of these headlines today. I am dissatisfied. If news media outlets are slashing jobs, maybe they can learn to code. Actually, you know what's going to happen? The algorithm is going to code them. News media outlets slash record jobs, 2,700 in 2023. The Hill says more are expected as the cuts grow. The outplacement, they said that it was the firm Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. Somebody's last name is Christmas. That's kind of fun. Mr. and Mrs. Christmas's son or daughter. They found media companies overall have made 20,324 cuts so far this year. It's the highest to date total since 2020. And it's in the new subcategory the firm tracks. They've lost almost 2,700 jobs, including broadcast, digital, and print. You know why? Because it's the new Minutemen. You don't need it. The internet has displaced it. We'll talk about that some coming up. Stick with us. So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? I mean, incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Now, Google's defense is that incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of those data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana and get 3 extra months for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Dana. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Dana to learn more.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
A lot of big cities are having the problems of San Francisco, but it does feel like, Republicans, conservatives, they try to make that the avatar for what's wrong with Democratic policies. What is it about San Francisco? And also, those are very real problems that San Francisco has.
Yeah.
How do you even start to address them?
Well, I mean, first you own the issues and then you start to address the issues. But look, they've been on a doom loop about San Francisco ever since Nancy Pelosi became speaker.
Yeah.
I mean, this, remember, California's Nancy Pelosi's the speaker
doom
of San
loop.
Francisco. You got Kamala Harris, who was a former senator from California. California's outperformed the American
doom
economy.
Doom loop sounds like a thrash metal band name for a bunch of cantankerous grammarists. That's what it sounds like. We got a little Donnie Hathaway playing there. Wink, wink, smile.
Yeah.
Little Donnie Hathaway. Shake a hand. Shake a hand, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Christmas jam. So welcome back to the program. Bottom of this hour. That's Gavin Newsom. That's your favorite Democrat mayor. He was on with, what's that dude's name? Seth?
Myers.
Seth Myers. Can I just ask a question that's completely irrelevant to what we're about to discuss?
All right.
Is he wearing velvet?
Good question.
Was he in a turtleneck or was that a velvet jacket? Because you shouldn't be wearing a velvet jacket unless you're at dinner or you're in a cigar bar. And does he have the sleeves pushed up? Like, what's up? Like, what is up with that? I'm just curious.
That is.
Yeah, so I'm not Gavin Newsom. Yeah, Seth Myers. Is that? I guess it's a jacket. I guess it's that stuck out to me. I think he's in a turtleneck.
Is that a turtleneck?
I don't like dudes in turtlenecks unless they're by the fire. It bothers me. Just a little thing. So Gavin Newsom, somebody gave him a Gen Z dictionary because he used the phrase doom loop. Somebody told him that. And I love the discussion that they're having. It's like, how dare you point out our crappy city? Like, literally, it's crappy. It's everywhere. I mean, they had a poop map, for crying out loud. Try to say that without, you know, elevating the vowels in that word. You can't. It's impossible. But when he says doom loop, or that it's not, they tried to use it as an avatar, because it is. I mean, Gavin Newsom was mayor of San Francisco. The reason it is an avatar of Democrat policies. I mean, San Francisco was like the city, wasn't it, at some point, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
Like in the day, whenever that was. When was it? Back in the day. Ah, yes. BITD, back in the day. That's right. So it is the avatar of all of their policies. I mean, everything that they've wanted, all the gun control, all of the kittens and sunshine, let's have the open air drug markets or whatever, all this stuff, the needle exchanges, let's do the high taxation, let's do the high property taxes, the sales taxes, the business taxes, the tourist taxes, all the taxes, let's do all of it. It is the avatar and it's failed miserably. Now they're mad that you're pointing it out. Well, how dare you point out our failures? You can't do that. You can't use the example of one of the biggest and generationally run Democrat cities and use that as a comparison against a city that's actually responsibly run and has good fiscal policy. How dare thou? Well, that's called comparisons. That's what you do. They know it looks bad for them and that it compromises them, which is why they don't want that comparison. But you don't even have to. Okay, fine. You don't want San Francisco? Let's use Chicago. Let's use L.A. Let's use New York. Let's use Philly. Let's use St. Louis. Let's use Houston. Dallas. Kane, give me a city. Any city.
You pretty much named them all.
Portland. Ooh, we could totally sub Portland in there. I mean, if San Francisco, if you're mad that it's the avatar, then I will pick another Democrat-run city, and they're all Democrat-run. I will pick another city for you. And we'll see how well that goes. It's just pretty fascinating. Yeah, he learned the phrase doom loop. What does that phrase actually mean? Doom loop? You looked it up. It came into the modern parlance of our time, what, last year? A year ago?
Yeah. So according to Investopedia, this is back in October of 2022, that a doom loop describes a situation in which one negative action or factor triggers another, which in turn triggers another negative action or causes the first negative factor to worsen.
I mean, I've heard of doom scrolling.
And the cycle continues.
I hate the language. We're just dumbing everything down so badly. Doom scrolling. I've heard of that. Doom loop. So a bunch of negative things, you're not allowed to point those out. We're not in the doom loop. They are literally in a doom loop.
Exactly.
I mean, you have the first doom of the feces everywhere, and then that loops into the needles everywhere, and then that loops into the crime everywhere, and then that loops into the high taxes everywhere, and that loops into, nobody can buy any property anywhere, and that loops into people are fleeing the state. It's bad. Steve is dying because of what he put in Slack. Go ahead. Do it.
Doom poop.
There you go. I could see him over there fidgeting. I was like, uh-oh. I look over in Slack, and there it is right there. Not unlike San Francisco. Then he also said this. This is the second part of Gavin Newsom's. I guess he thought he was cool by going on a late night show that only grandparents watch, but okay. Audio soundbite 5, seal to play.
And I think we need to assert ourselves. We got to be more assertive. And frankly, Republicans, man, they've been defining the terms CRT, DEI, ESG. No one even understands what these things mean. And we're on the defense.
You made them up.
They think the most important issue for our kids is drag shows and trans issues, not gun violence in this country. I mean, on all of these issues, we're on the right side. We just not need to get on the other side of our anxiety and doubts and go on the offensive.
Okay, so what those letters mean because you literally made them up. Your side made them up. Let's start with CRT, Critical Race Theory, Frankfurt School of Marxism. This goes all the way back to Derrick Bell in the 60s. And that's why in 2012, when I first wrote the story about Derrick Bell and Barack Obama and how Barack Obama it was basically a mentoree of Derrick Bell. That's why it was so big, because he was mainstreaming critical race theory, which was supplanting identitarian politics, identity politics for the fiscal warfare, the economic socioeconomic statuses that you would always see divide everyone. They were supplanting the identity politics for that. It's still the same formula. It's just a different variable. And they were mainstreaming that throughout college campuses all beginning in the 60s. So that's something that y'all came up with. Like, y'all literally wrote books and called it critical race theory. We didn't come up with that. You all did. We're busy people. Like, we're trying to like pay taxes that you keep inventing and, you know, working and raising kids. We don't have time to keep track of all your alphabet creations. And then there's DEI. And you guys came up with DEI. We didn't do that. That's not something that conservatives sit around and think about. Kane, how can we do diversity? What does it even mean anymore? Diversity, exclusion, and idiocy. How can we do that? How can we create that and implement that in all of our workplaces? You know what, Kane? You know what we need to have for the show? We should have a diversity officer to make sure that we have diverse ammo and, you know, coffee blends.
I see. So,
and liquor.
223-556. Make sure we have 9 mil.
Yeah.
Like a variety.
Yeah, like a variety. I feel like that's like truly representative of America today, you know. But his last little quip there, when he says, you know, they're focusing on drag shows and the big thing and not gun violence. Well, first off, the presupposition is that gun violence is the number one killer of kids across the country. And as we've talked about, it actually isn't. The only way that the CDC can get that figure is that they inflate it all the way up to they reduced it to 19. It used to go up to 20, you know, 20-year-old babies. But it goes up to 19. They include 18 and 19-year-olds. When you break down all the FBI uniform crime reports going all the way back to 99 up until current time, what you find out is that the majority of those crimes, particularly with illegally possessed handguns, it's all 18 and 19-year-olds, and it's all drug and gang violence. Now, when it concerns minors, it's still drug and gang violence. And then when you remove all of those variables out of the, when you remove all of those numbers, all of those cases specifically out of the minor age group, then it drops down to like fifth or sixth place. And drownings and automobile accidents and accidental poisoning and really opioid crisis, all of that stuff takes precedent. But they include the drug and gang violence of 18 and 19-year-olds to overwhelmingly drive that statistic so they can use that as the basis for more gun control policy. So you have that on one hand. But then the other hand, too, is something that you just brought up. I mean, if you're really concerned about the lives of kids, why in the ever-loving world are you letting all these repeat offenders out reoffending over and over and over again? I mean, the superintendent of the Chicago PD said just a few years ago, it's the same 1,400 people that are driving 89% of the violent crime in Chicago. And the police were disheartened because they keep arresting the same people over and over again. I mean, they're literally on a first-name basis with these people. They know the criminals. They are on a first name basis with the criminals. They know the criminals' family. I mean, it's like a cartoon. They know these people so well, and they just keep catching them because they keep reoffending. And then they get out. They get a wrist slap, and then they're out on probation. This happens all the time. And here's something else: if they really cared about the lives of kids, then why would you not include? Why would you not make sure that you have a mandatory maximum for a lot of these young violent offenders? Like that Vondra Myers case in St. Louis. Y'all remember this? This is a case of a kid. This dude was 14 years old. He already had a juvie record that was multiple pages long, violent record. And he was supposed to be, it was like a quasi-house arrest. He was supposed to be in his house when the sun went down. He wasn't supposed to be out and about. He had an ankle monitor on, and there was an off-duty, plainclothes police officer who, and this was, what was this, in Tower Grove Park? Off-duty, plainclothes police officer who happened to be walking by a known drug house and he saw Vondra Myers and saw his ankle brace going in and tried to follow up on it. Vondra Myers turned around, shot at the cop. The cop returned fire and killed him. Vondra Myers was able, they let him out without nothing. What was it, like 10% of 1% of his bond to get out for a felonious activity when in reality he should have actually, I wrote a whole bunch about it at the time, he should have actually been in jail. He should have been detained at that point. And the fact that they didn't, because they thought it was more merciful to let him out in the street to get killed than it was to keep him detained in jail where he'd still be alive today. That's what your restorative justice gets you. Restorative justice kills more kids than anything else. And that's what Gavin Newsom supports. That's the epidemic that's plaguing youth today. And his party is the number one driver of it. So I would love for someone to challenge him that on a debate stage. But, you know, you got to kind of know this stuff a little bit beyond getting the Gen Z dictionary of doom loop. So dumb. These people are walking doom loops. So We're already winding down to the bottom of this first hour. I got to do something first before. So you guys remember when I did the amazing Renaissance drawing of Cain? So hold up. The belief is that if Hunter Biden can spit through a straw, at least he's not snorting, spit through a straw and create $500,000 art pieces.
Million.
Yeah. And sell those, then the thought was, well, prove to me that this is not Nepo baby stuff. And I will draw. My stuff is better. So I drew one. It's a Renaissance portrait of Cain. I mean, this could go for millions of dollars. I even included the crosshatch that I learned in junior high art school. I put my skills to use. Look at your background, dude.
It's great.
Look at the background.
It's like diamond plate.
Note, right, isn't it? Note the detail on the name. I mean, there's so much care in this. Look how much I shaded his lip.
You know, the biggest sales pitch for me is the fact that there's no spit on it.
No spit. There's no spit on this at all.
Right.
It's a Sharpie. No spit.
I think it makes it worth more when there's no spit on it.
Yeah.
That's just me.
And then I added the little fun brought to you by probiotics because he never shuts up about it. So I put that at the bottom. I mean, this, if you compare this to what Hunter Biden does, you don't even know, what does that look like? It looks like a Petri dish. It looks like he dropped his crack pipe in a Petri dish, and then that's what came up of it. This, there's a face on it. He's got his cans. See his eyebrows? You can't see if you're listening, but the simulcast.
Cans are just slang for headphones.
Headphones, yeah. Yeah, I probably should have, clearly articulated that, didn't I? Just now realized. You know, so, I mean, this is the million-dollar piece. So I was thinking about, what's the best way to do it? So I asked Lorraine, I said, hey, get me a list of people in the YouTube chat. And I'm just going to, I'll print their names out and I'll just, I put it up or number them and then we'll just, randomly pick a number. So I did that. I don't know if the YouTube chat was aware of it. So she got me the names and numbered them. And then it was number 16. I randomly picked the individual that I picked. They go by the name of Kraken. And yeah, so they're going to get the user. Because people can't use their real names anymore because the FBI is now they've been expanded. They're going to come get you. So the user Kraken in the YouTube chat is going to get this $1 million Renaissance painting or drawing with the Sharpie. So that is the individual. Their name is Kraken. They are a regular participant in the chat, and I'm going to send this to them.
Let me be the first to say
Kraken.
Congratulations.
That is such a dad joke, but I'll let it slide because you said it so nicely for my Renaissance portrait that I did.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So, I mean, this is going to be in a museum, Cain, later. You're going to be like the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what is he thinking?
I don't know. You may be exaggerating a little bit.
Are you saying that I am not as good as Hunter Biden?
I'm just saying that piece may not end up in a museum. So
you don't think you have art taste, sir. I went to the Uffizi one time, so now I'm an expert.
Your talent is superb, though.
Yeah. So congratulations to Kraken. You're going to get this beautiful, beautiful, show it one more time, Renaissance portraiture. We have a lot more on the way. We got Today in These United States coming up. You don't want to miss it. Looking for a proactive solution in the battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Individual patients' lives as well as money. So I want to thank you all for taking the time to be here. I want to thank my my introducer. I know you're down to 35, but it's going to get down to $2,000 a year. Max, in 2035. So God bless you all, and may God protect our troops. Thank you very, very much.
He stands like a toy soldier from a Nutcracker, like this, and then he squints, and he just stays in that perpetual position. And then he's hunched over like a shrimp on a martini glass with some cocktail sauce in it. He's just like hunched over like this, and he's makes me want a shrimp cocktail, actually. It's getting close to lunchtime. Starting to get a little hungry. All right, so coming up in our second hour. I don't know what's happening. No, coming up in our second hour, have you seen that Civil War, the Civil War movie, the new modern Civil War? It's made by people who literally have never been in the wilderness, have never left like an urban area. They have no clue. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. We got to make fun of it egregiously because that's what we're good at. And then Stephen Moore is going to join us later on in the program as well. Back in just a moment. If you go somewhere, communism wins. Our friends over at Hillsdale College want to wish you a Merry Christmas and thank you for all of your support for their amazing institution this past year. As you know, Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the education needed to preserve civil and religious liberties, and they hold true to that mission today. So their students are able to pursue their academic studies and engage in really robust and good will academic debate on all the issues that we're told to, you know, we have to be brainwashed to discuss anymore today. They teach critical thinking, not critical race theory, at Hillsdale College. So they have a special video featuring their sacred music choir singing A Little Town of Bethlehem. You can access that only at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. It will definitely get you in the mood this Christmas season. And again, they just want to thank you for supporting their mission. And you don't have to attend Hillsdale to take advantage of everything that they have to offer. When you go to Dana4Hillsdale.com, where you can see their choir singing, you can also access a ton of free resources there. So you don't have to be on their college campuses to take advantage. You can be anywhere in the world. Just access it at Dana4Hillsdale.com and check out all of those free resources to help you celebrate the season. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
I see a good and decent man in Joe Biden who united the country, and all the evidence has shown that he loved his son. His son was on hard times, and he bought his son a truck, and his son paid him back. He loaned his brother money, and his brother paid him back. Joe Biden is just a decent American who fought MAGAism and is seeing them use this against him, and as I said, in this sick and perverse way.
Okay, I've got so many major issues with this. First off, welcome to the program, Kane. You okay, Kane?
Yeah.
We're not even in the second hour yet. Are you all right over there, little buddy?
I'll make it.
Yeah. So welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here with you. That's Eric Fartswell, who I got to turn this fan off. Eric Fartswell, who was trying to make it like Joe Biden is just, you know, he just loves his son, guys. He loves his family. He's just a family guys, just, you guys are so mean to him. He's such a great dude. And Hunter was, you know, he just needed some money. He was short on money. You know, that happens. It is a fact that one tends to run out of money if one spends all their money on hookers and blow. You know that spending $5 million on hookers is bad? That's a lot of money on hookers and blow. I mean, at some point, are you like, don't you just stop and go, okay, I've had enough hookers and blow. I mean, how much more? What else can you do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Right? Right? I mean, come on. At some point, when is that too much? I mean, that's how much he paid, $5 million. Was it over $5 million?
I think it was.
$5 million on hookers and blow. At some point, you're just like, okay, that's enough. That's enough money. Can you find a different hobby now? Like, pickleball's really taken off. It's like a big thing right now. Pickleball, right? Then all of a sudden he's like a pickleball champ with the sweatband around his head and everything. So that's why he went broke. He went broke because he spent all of his money on drugs and, you know, the escorts, the ladies of the night. No, not vampires. That's why he went broke. I love the spin that they're putting on this. And by love, I mean I find it amusing, the spin that they're putting on this. So that is the that's Eric Fartswell, who was trying to make that defense there. Why haven't they moved, by the way? Why haven't any Republicans in the House? Because you had Hunter Biden ignore a subpoena, and yet I have not seen anyone start contempt proceedings yet. I mean, that's what they have to do. They have to choose to do that in committee, and then they kick it over to DOJ or whatever, and then it goes from there. I haven't seen them start any contempt proceedings yet. Why? It's Friday. Why? Why has this not been done? I mean, this is so stupid. Why has this not been done yet? I just get so tired of this, the inaction. Like with the NDAA stuff. Yes, I get that it's a temporary thing. Oh my gosh, I've had some fun conversations with some of my friends. Some of my friends who were like 80-20, maybe 90-10 on a lot of things. And one of my friends was saying, well, you got to remember, Dana, we have a one-seat majority in the House. We just had another guy who's going to retire too, by the way. We're on track to lose the House in 2024. And he said, you know, we only got a one-seat majority in the House. We don't have any, you know, I mean, this is, all of this is, you know, all these things, all of this is a result of those election choices. And there are a lot of people mad about NDAA. But maybe that'll change. Is that going to be enough to get it? Well, here's the other thing. I'm going to say something unpopular. And that's what I'm supposed to do. The one presidential candidate who could hit this harder than anybody else, who knows what it's like to be surveilled or ridiculously unlawfully targeted by the FBI, whether it is setting up traps about Russian collusion, whether it's about leaking stuff to the DOJ, working with a FARA violating Oppo research firm that advocates on behalf of Russian oligarchs, Fusion GPS, lying to a FISA court, illegally obtaining wiretaps on private citizens just because of their choice of where to spend their time as a campaign volunteer. Instead of selling NFTs, Trump should be beating the drum on this. Instead of selling NFTs at $100 a pop, in a Biden inflation period right before the holidays, and NFTs are, I hate all of NFTs because it's all garbage. Instead of doing that, he should have been beating the drum about 702. This is a temporary thing. They're going to have to deal with this again coming up after the first of the year. I don't want to hear about selling pieces of a suit. I don't want to hear about damn NFTs. I don't want to hear about, I'm mad because so-and-so didn't endorse me. I don't care. There is one candidate that has the ability, because of what they specifically went through, to make a very compelling argument to people in the House to stop the permanent expansion of FISA abuse. And he's not doing it. Don't talk about being a fighter for the people if you're not fighting for the people. And if you think that this FISA stuff doesn't concern you, you go tell that to the moms and dads who were getting surveilled by the FBI because they spoke out at school board meetings. Go and tell the people who got detained for unlawful parading, or the people who didn't even go to the Capitol on January 6th, who were visited by the FBI, some even arrested. Go and talk to some of them. Hell, you got people sitting in jail cells now. Is any NFT money being raised going towards them? Their legal causes? No. Oh, you're not supposed to say anything about this. Why? Because the Pimpleton influencers, they get butthurt if you do. And you ain't moving the needle. If you were moving the needle, you'd be winning elections, and you're not winning elections. There's a reason why we say AOC's influence only extends to the reaches of her Twitter account. And I got to tell you, some people on the right are the same damn way. So there's the truth of the matter. And I get aggravated about this because it's like everybody ignored it until, I mean, you knew it was coming. It is a temporary thing, though. But, you know, they're going to vote to make this permanent. They're going to vote to make it permanent. And it's bad. The FISA abuse in this, to say nothing of the taxpayer-funded abortion on demand and military and all this other stuff. It's bad. Now, this, have you guys heard of the Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson? You guys heard of him. Check out what they did in Chicago. Brandon Johnson announced plans to eliminate the city's high-achieving selective enrollment high schools to boost, quote-unquote, equity, despite promising not to do that during the campaign. The Board of Education has proposed shifting back towards neighborhood schools, so they're going to get rid of the high-achieving selective enrollment high school because it's not fair to the other kids who don't get picked. So instead of helping students achieve or even opening more schools, instead of doing that, they're lowering the bar to make it easier on themselves. That's not, excellence and equity are not the same thing. Equity is a rejection of excellence. I mean, equity is, I mean, I don't know what they think they're doing here, but you're not going to get excellence by, you're not going to get excellence by making everyone equal in mediocrity. And that's what equity is. Making everyone equal in mediocrity so that no one is, that's equity. Actually, you have to incorporate actual discrimination into it. Good grief. No wonder, you know what? I think of like with stuff like this, no wonder there's that. Did you guys see this? Let me pull this up. Who's all in this movie? It's that Civil War movie. It's the new Civil, it's like this movie about the new Civil War or something like that. It's, I don't know. Kirsten Dunst is in it. And who else is in this movie? Kirsten Dunst, her husband, Jesse Plemons. I was trying to think of what else he was in. He's in this movie. And it's supposed to be about like the factions, something, the factions in the United States are, all the states are fighting and it's an ideological battle, et cetera, et cetera. It's so ridiculously dumb. I don't know if you've seen, I don't want to play, I can't play the audio of it because they'll totally cite us, but it is so goofy. This thing is so goofy. I'm trying to find my notes on this movie, so bear with me for a moment. Because it's, I don't think it's out yet in theaters. Is it out in theaters?
No, it'd be Netflix.
Oh, it's Netflix. That's right. It's a Netflix movie. Yeah. So this, they have like a little video that they've been, that they put out. And apparently in this film, some of the states, like, it looks like they think that Texas and California are going to somehow be aligned or something like that. It looks like the Northeast is beset by conservatives and progressives. And the map, I don't understand. It's Alex Garland's Civil War. Jesse Plemons, Kirsten Dunst, and some other chick I don't know. Oh, it is in theaters on April 26th.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's in theaters April 26th. And I was watching the trailer. I couldn't even get through the trailer. They're like, yeah, there's a huge civil war that's going on and it's all across the country. And they make the journalists the heroes of the story because they just want to talk about what's happening. The Western forces of Texas and California, they show like these people all fighting and they act like, I mean, this is so unbelievably goofy. And I don't understand, there's not going to be any arbitrary and state line. I had a friend who said, you know what, it's going to be all regional and cultural balkanization. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be rural versus urban. That's what's going to happen. There's not going to be blue and red states. That's so stupid because you really, because that goes away because you have states like Illinois that it's all red, but then a blue city in Cook County in Chicago that runs everything. So that's, and that's true in a lot of different states, honestly. This is so goofy, this movie. Why are they making something like this? And then, of course, the reporters are the heroes.
They don't have a clue.
One of my friends goes, look at Nevada. Have these people ever been to Nevada? Nevada is not a lib state. Nevada is a zillion miles of desert and bitter cowboys with one liberal city that exists to take Californians' money. This is a city which literally should not exist according to the basic laws of nature. And once the water infrastructure is threatened, it's nothing but a source of refugees. Oh my gosh. This movie's going to flop. We got a lot more than that. We got headlines coming up you don't want to miss as we get moving. Our partners over at Nimi Skincare. This makes a great Christmas gift if you're looking for gift ideas. They have all kinds of gifting options that include their limited edition winter bundle and all kinds of gift cards. Now, if you're looking for a simple skincare routine that's effective and also affordable, and they're not going to try to have a dude out there selling you women's products because you're obviously your skincare needs are different, you need to check out Nimi Skincare. You can save 10% using code Dana, first off. Secondly, this is high-end skincare. That is affordable. And they also use only the best ingredients. They don't use parabens or any of the other chemicals that cause people to break out or have other skin issues. They don't test on animals. And they were founded by people who understand that men, you know, as much as we love you, you're not going to sell skincare stuff to women because we have different needs. And they're not going to do all that stuff. They have very easy to follow routines. They're packed with proven ingredients that repair and revitalize the skin. And that's what's important. You want to use the products of companies that have the same values that you do, but you also want to use, you know, products that actually work and are crafted really well. And that's what Nimi Skincare's products do. The Hydrate and Protect Ultimate routine is great. The cleanser I use, I love the cleanser. And I say this as somebody that deals with like eczema and all that. So I got to be really careful with what I use and incorporate things slowly. And so far, I love their stuff. It doesn't aggravate the skin. It doesn't inflame your skin because there's no perfumes and all that stuff added to it. Made right here in the US of A, and their stuff is 100% guaranteed. So with Nimi Skincare, you're not compromising your values to have great skin. Visit NimiSkincare.com, N-I-M-I, skincare.com. Use promo code Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was trying to repost a meme. All right. So the lockdown effect. Americans' physical and mental health has deteriorated by every metric since the pandemic. And they say that it's all the lockdowns and all of that stuff. That's what's to blame. They say that half of the world's going to have a mental condition by age of 75. I'm so tired of this. I am so tired of this. I am so tired of it. I'm tired of hearing that everybody, Big Pharma is trying to make you believe that you need all this stuff wrong with you so that you can take their pills forever. That's what they want. They released this. They surveyed 5,000 adults and they tracked their changes in mental and physical conditions. Have you ever thought that maybe things are stressful because stupid people are also making things stressful? Weak men create hard times. We're in that position right now. I don't know if people realize that, but that's where we are. So this is an NBC story. They're saying that race played a role in the sentencing of this 10-year-old boy for urinating in public. So this kid, he's a 10-year-old kid who urinated in public in August. He was sentenced to 3 months probation, and they said it's because he's black. He's in third grade. He was arrested on August 10th after a police officer saw him relieving himself next to his mom's car when she was inside an attorney's office. And they said that anybody would have done the same thing given that, or any child would have done the same thing given the circumstances. There was no public restroom at the attorney's office. He had to go. There was no bathroom available to him. And really, you got to get the courts involved for this? Is it a question of race, or is it like there are some people in positions in this town?
According to the story, was he had to write a story about Kobe Bryant?
That's stupid.
What is that about?
That is stupid. That is so stupid. They said that he's not going to, they said it's probation. He's not going to have a criminal record. It's a 2-page report. And he has to check in with a probation officer for once a month for 3 months. That is so stupid. That is so unbelievably dumb. I just want to rage at this. This is ridiculous. They said that, he's 10 years old. He's 10 years old. His mom was inside. She ran inside. Oh my gosh, he's 10, guys. Come on. And it's Senatobia in Mississippi. I don't know like what their party makeup is there, but I'd be shocked if the people running that town are Republican. Just saying. All right, so apparently Park Hill, there's a neighborhood in Denver where somebody's been raiding houses and stealing ladies' panties. They said that some neighbors in this Denver community are on high alert. A man's been breaking into their homes and stealing women's underwear. He's called the Park Hill Panty Thief. Way to give him a nickname that he's probably going to enjoy, guys. I mean, they said that he passed over PlayStations, computers, jewelry, just took women's underwear. Yeah, just took women's underwear. What's the matter with you? Like, why are you not stealing any of the good stuff? Don't take, I'm not saying that as advice. An auto industry eye subscription fees. This is so dumb. So you can pay monthly for heated seats and cruise control? Are you serious with me right now? That is so dumb. That's so dumb. We got a lot more on the way. Stephen Moore is going to join us. Speaking of business, coming up next. Stick with us. So we finally got a new espresso machine. I have been without my Black Rifle coffee, except when I do my French press. So that's those are the days when I seem especially tweaked. But we're finally, so I'm going to be able to do all my crazy super strong brews. Black Rifle coffee is just the best coffee that is out there. And if you love coffee that's strong and bold and is going to kick you right in the neck when you wake up, because that's what you want, you need to be told by something to get out of bed, get thee some coffee, and get thee to work. That's what Black Rifle Coffee does. They have the best brew for you. You don't want mediocre commie swill. And this is a veteran-owned company that employs retired and active duty veterans. They're all coffee nerds to like the most annoying nth degree. But, you know, we benefit from all of that because we get the best roast ever. And like, for instance, you can have like the AK-47 espresso or the Thin Blue Line medium roast, which supports our police, or the Freedom Fuel dark roast. Then you join the coffee club, pick whatever roast you want, how you want your delivery schedule to work. And then you get free shipping with discounts, and it's right on your doorstep. It's like a coffee fairy that just brings you coffee. It's awesome. You're also going to find apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more over at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. This is a great Christmas gift, by the way. Give somebody the gift of coffee with the coffee club. And every time you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping to fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Start saving on high quality coffee roasted right here in America. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, as it relates to Bidenomics, the president, I just announced at the top of the briefing, he's going to go to Milwaukee. He's going to talk about Bidenomics, investing in America, what Bidenomics has done for the American people coming out of the pandemic. We can't forget what happened when the president walked in. We saw the economy at a tailspin. And so the president has been working a middle class from the bottom up, middle out, and that's what you've seen him do. And the data shows, as you just mentioned in your question, inflation is moderating. And you see jobs created at more than 14 million jobs. Unemployment is at under 4%. All of those things is part of Bidenomics, and you will certainly hear the president talk more about that over the next couple months as we finish out the year.
Nobody believes that. Nobody's believing anything that they're saying about wage growth. No one's believing that when they look at the prices and how much more expensive everything is, particularly this holiday season. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen around the country terrestrially. You can also stream the radio program. You can check out the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere you can find video. Joining us right now, I really enjoyed his article that he just wrote about The Magnificent Seven, and not just because it's one of my favorite films, the original. I also enjoyed Fuqua's remake, but I love the original. Magnificent Seven, talking about American business. Stephen Moore, who is the senior economist at FreedomWorks. He also is a former Trump economic advisor. He joins us on Skype now. And I wanted, Stephen, first off, I thought this was brilliant. I thought that the way that you framed this piece was brilliant, and I just want to share that with the audience, because he talks about how nothing exemplifies America's tech industry dominance more than the Magnificent Seven stocks: Amazon, Apple, Google, Meta, Microsoft, Nvidia, Tesla, and they single-handedly account for nearly all of the gains in the stock market this year. And he adds that, which is to say, we as American shareholders who own them have a net worth of nearly $10 trillion. They're not Japanese or German or Chinese. They're American. And yet, I love it. You say they're the GM, the Standard Oil, the JP Morgan, all of that of our time. And they're not getting Washington, it's like they don't, as you say, like Rodney Dangerfield said, they don't get any respect. And it's true. They really are denigrated. Talk to me about this.
Hi, Dana. Good to be with you. Thanks so much for having me. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So, you know, my wife does our investing. And so she put a lot of money into NVIDIA at the beginning of the year. And she's just dancing a little jig right now because that that company is just surging. And all of these companies, though, you know, you mentioned NVIDIA, you have mentioned Apple, Amazon, Google, Microsoft, and others. And they have been so amazing. They're the high flyers. In fact, this year in the stock market, well more than half of the gains and almost three quarters of the gains have been attributable to those Magnificent Seven. So it's really for anyone with a 401k plan or anyone with a retirement plan, or if you just invest individually, these stocks are carrying the market. And you're talking about trillion-dollar companies. And it's great. As you said, these are American companies. Isn't it wonderful, Dana, that the companies that are leading the way on the new technologies, and we hope that happens also in the artificial intelligence and robotics regime, are American companies. They're not Chinese. They're not German. They're not Japanese. They're made here in America. And look, I don't like the politics. I don't think you probably do either, right, of some of these companies. You know, I don't like the fact that they discriminate against conservative voices like yours and mine. But if you just look at what they're doing for the economy, it's amazing.
It is. And I think that there's like I think some of the offset is that, you know, we'll get more people who are like-minded into those companies as well. I like the idea of, you know, kicking down the castle door and taking it over from the inside. Talking to our friend like Stephen Moore. You mentioned, too,
by the way,
that
that's happening a little bit. You know, we as conservatives have really been putting pressure on these companies because they have been discriminating and trying to, you know, close down conservative voices. And now we're starting to really see more fair treatment. I mean, look what happened, obviously, with Elon Musk buying Twitter. And so we do have options now that didn't really exist before. We need to build great social media companies on the right as well. And that's a big challenge. That's why shows like yours are so important with the voice that you give.
You also get into, which I think is a very important point, because there's, you know, some of the monopolistic behavior that these companies engage in. I mean, I think there's a difference in adopting some of the behaviors and then engaging in full on pushing a monopoly in a particular market. Talk to us a little about that as well, because there is certain things that happen in business. It just happens as the nature of business.
So first of all, one of the great myths of American history is that remember in the textbooks, you read about this, the quote, robber baron.
Yes.
You know, the Henry Fords and the J.P. Morgans and the people who really Standard Oil and those people. Well, you know, guess what? It turns out they weren't robber barons. They built America. You know, how is it that we let some of our greatest entrepreneurs who created literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of jobs and created the rail industry, the oil and gas industry, the banking industry, you know, all of these, somehow they were portrayed as evil people. Now, I'm not saying they were sane, but, you know, they really created American industry back 100 years ago. And so now we have this new wave of great entrepreneurs, you know, people like Bill Gates and people like Steve Jobs and people like Elon Musk. And they're being treated like they're monopolists when, in fact, the most amazing thing, but this is similar 100 years ago to today. They kept saying, oh, gee, Henry Ford, he's a monopolist. J.P. Morgan, he's a monopolist. You know, the steel industry people are monopolists. Guess what? The prices of all those things fell. And what those entrepreneurs did was make those goods and services like cars available to middle class Americans. Well, that's exactly what's happened with these technology companies. They're not driving up prices. They're driving down prices. I mean, my God, Google, you could do a search on Google for free.
Yeah. Oh, I think we just lost the video there for Stephen. We've been talking to Stephen Moore. Okay. Oh, there he is. We got his audio. His great piece, The Magnificent Seven, talking about these, you know, these big titans of American business. I always thought that was such a sneaky Marxist trick to get everyone to sort of turn on American business successes.
Yes.
It really was.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You know, when this is America that became the richest country in the world because we have free market capitalism and we have great innovators and great entrepreneurs. You know, that just think of someone like Steve Jobs. I mean, he had this vision of, I wouldn't be doing this interview with you right now if not for Steve Jobs, right? I mean, he had this vision that every American would have this little device in their hand and you could do video, you could do music, you could do, you know, phone calls, all these things. You know, 30 years ago, who would have even imagined that? And so, you know, these are people who are, and this is, look, isn't it amazing that so many of the great inventions of the last 100 years, they came from American know-how and ingenuity, and I love that about America. And I want to see us lead the world in the next 100 years, not China.
I think that's a great point, talking with Stephen Moore. I also think that particularly our allies, people who are like-minded with us, I mean, and we completely share the same opinion, particularly on suppression of conservative speech. But I don't want to get too over my skis either and get to the point of denigrating an American business, because some of these companies like Facebook, you know, like Meta, you know, they didn't conform to China's request to participate in their market. And as a result, they're banned. I mean, China has their own, you know, Facebook Meta equivalent over there. And I think that's, you know, for all the problems, and I definitely have problems with them, I know you do as well. To me, that's, you know, okay, I get that. You know, maybe I don't totally hate you, Meta, but because that's a good thing. I feel like we don't want to get to the point where we're denigrating American capability too much, because I feel like that's bait. It feels like we're being baited in a way.
Yeah. So it's a really good point you're making. So, you know, when you and I first got started in this industry, remember, it was Walter Cronkite and, you know, CBS and ABC, NBC. You know, there were only a few media outlets, right? There weren't shows like this that we're doing right now. And so what's happened is this proliferation of social media. And then the irony is, yes, some of these companies tried to quiet our voices. For example, is there any way that Donald Trump could have been elected without social media? He was probably one of the greatest users of social media. It's so amazing that most of the hottest websites out there and so on and social media channels are on the conservative side, not on the liberal side. We use it. Now, there are, you know, some pretty bad sites out there on the left. But we have ways of getting our voices heard now that we never did before.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree with you on this. So this is a fabulous piece, and I wanted to have you on to talk about it. You do note that there is a little bit of irony of Magnificent Seven, because I remember the ending of it. Five of them didn't meet the best end. So I hope that that's
only two of the seven survived.
So I hope that's where it parts.
By the way, I did not invent the term Magnificent Seven. That's been out there for months, but they are magnificent, and we want to see them continue to prosper. And by the way, when you and I do this show 5 years from now, it'll probably be seven different companies,
yeah,
you know?
I would imagine so. I would imagine so. Stephen Moore, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. And thanks for this great piece. Sure. Good to talk with you. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour already of the program. Yeah, Magnificent Seven is one of my absolute favorites. Love the original. If you have not seen Antoine Fuqua's remake, and he's just a great director. And Denzel is one of my favorite actors ever. Forget everything that you've been fed by the left about identity politics, et cetera, et cetera. None of that has to do with it. He's just, I think, one of the best living actors we have. He is so amazing in this remake, and the score is brilliant. If you've not watched it, I have a habit of watching Magnificent Seven every Christmas season. Every Christmas, I watch Magnificent Seven. Totally not a Christmas movie. I don't know why. I watch both of them. I watch the original with Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen, and then I watch the Fuqua remake. So good. All right, as we get moving, because we got Florida Man. We got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up, let's see here. I'm like being distracted. We have an elderly Florida man who was assaulted by his neighbors while... We had this one yesterday, so this is old. I'm not doing this one. A Florida man's in custody. He barricaded himself in a sewer pipe following a police pursuit in Kendall. This guy's also totally naked. Again, video from the scene shows the moment the South Florida Water Management set a robotic camera inside of the pipe to check the status of the dude. The guy started around 2 a.m. on Thursday. The man fled from Miami-Dade police. Police lost sight of him, and he disappeared into a sewer pipe. And then they sent a robotic camera into the pipe to check the status of the guy. And then they managed to take him into custody. He's being treated by Miami-Dade Fire Rescue at the scene. And they said they haven't released his identity or anything like that. So, you know, I mean, a Florida woman, a porch pirate, stole packages and then planned to re-gift them for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So this, according to Polk County Sheriff's Office, this woman, Kinsley Mott, was seen at the victim's home surveillance camera, walking up to the porch, taking numerous Amazon boxes, driving off in a red truck. She had her eye on the prize. She followed the truck. She followed this Amazon delivery truck all over this subdivision of Winter Haven, Florida. And she's just started taking, after they would deliver them, she would go up and start taking packages right off the porches on neighborhoods between, like starting at noon, broad daylight. They reviewed the surveillance videos. I guess, you know, people have like the doorbell cameras and all this stuff. So they started reviewing these surveillance videos, and they eventually found her at her place of employment, Hungry Howie's Pizza. And when they asked her about this, she said, no, I'm regifting them. She's regifting the stolen items. And then she literally told police when they showed her the video footage, she goes, quote, "What if it was just someone else who had my face?" See, now, wait a minute, sidebar. This is why I want a fake finger as a ring.
That's right.
The fake silicone finger. I want to wear it on my hand, so that way if something happens that I don't like or something like that, then I can just be like, see, there's an extra finger here. AI. This is clearly AI. I've really thought about this. You know, I've done a lot of research on the silicone finger rings. You can't really get them on Amazon. I found like one really good one, but apparently they're not for sale anymore. So I'm just saying, like, if you're into that business, that might be, you know, I'm just saying that's going to be the way to get out of stuff right now. Like, just get you a fake silicone digit, wear it as a ring. And that way, you know, if you're out in public and all that, and it's something else, I'm just saying, you can be like, no. See, I don't have that many fingers. That clearly is AI. Can they prove that you were wearing a fake silicone finger in the photo? No, they can't. They can't. I'm just saying. I'm not like trying to encourage you to break the law or anything. I'm just saying it might be nice to have that, you know. I'm just a little extra. Anyway, they did get her in arrest, and of course she was crying when they arrested her. Of course she was. I mean, that is so, like, you're following around a delivery truck. If you're the delivery driver too, do you know at one point that you're being followed around by the delivery truck? I'm just wondering. Yeah. I don't even know how to read this headline. A Florida man pours eye drops on his nephew's sandwich to make him, quote, puke his brains out. A Pinellas Park man is accused of putting eye drops in his nephew's sandwich in an attempt to make him sick. Golly. They said that a witness reported a customer asking for a bottle of Visine eye drops while purchasing food at an unnamed business on Wednesday. The witness told police that the customer, identified as James Leach, said he was having issues with his nephew, hated him. And then after handing him the eye drops, the witness said he opened the bottle and poured it all over the meatball sandwich. The witness stated that that could hurt someone, and the defendant responded by saying it would only cause him to, quote, blank himself and puke his brains out. And then and apparently there's video footage inside the business where you can see him doing all this stuff. And the nephew said that he ate a small part of the sandwich and didn't know it may have been tampered with. He didn't accept medical treatment. What in the world? Like, what is wrong with you? I don't know how old the nephew is, but the guy is 45 years old. The guy, they arrested him, but the guy's like 45 years old. And I mean, I don't, does it really do that? I don't know, man. Let's see here. This Florida woman was arrested for Walmart theft, drunken hit and run crash in the same day. Flagler County, Florida, 46-year-old Ledrian Emily. She gets in trouble for petty theft, and then she immediately right after DUI in Palm Coast, according to Flagler County Police. Yeah, it's not a way to celebrate the season. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
It's a simple principle. You shouldn't pay the highest price in the world for drugs that your tax dollars have already helped create. We're already begun to secure fair pricing clauses and contracts for new COVID vaccines, three new COVID vaccines. And we recently proposed that when a drug company prices drugs so high that Americans can't afford them, when those drugs are created by the American tax dollars, the federal government can step in and allow other companies to make and sell that same drug for less. Because they did it here. This is all part of my administration's work to promote competition across our economy, to lower costs, to raise wages, and improve care. Last week, we announced new steps to crack down on anti-competitive practices in healthcare. And we're going after what we call junk fees, like junk health insurance plans.
Mm. junk fees and junk health insurance plans. And oh my gosh, don't get me started about insurance. Don't get me started. That's Joe Biden, who's barely getting through those remarks. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. It is our last broadcast of this year. I'm back behind the mic on January 3rd, rested. And boy, oh boy, then we're dropped right into Iowa. I'll be dang. So yeah, definitely rest up over this break. Again, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, Channel 347, DirecTV as well, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. And don't forget the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. So, okay, he says they're investing in three new coronavirus vaccines. Are these actually going to be vaccines? That's a $1 million question. King, what's a vaccine?
What's a vaccine?
Yeah, just like for, you know, giggles. What's a vaccine?
A vaccine, well, traditionally, it's always been a part of the virus that's dead that is introduced to your immune system so that your immune system can kind of learn how to fight it. For the purpose of immunizing and, you know,
so that you don't.
You safe, so you don't get sick.
Okay. And it makes it to where you can't get the.
Yeah,
get virus.
The virus. Well, that's what they claimed, yes.
Well, okay, but with regular vaccines, though, like with vaccines, you know, that they have previously, because it's not, virus is like kind of, you got to adapt. You can't really vaccine.
Yeah, your body, there's really no vaccine. I mean, this is the thing, that the mRNA vaccine actually tells your body to create the spike protein that then your body has to fight, which is why this is such a dumb thing. Everyone knows that when you get the shot or the booster or a combination of them, your body doesn't have an off switch for that. Mm-hmm. Like they're saying it dissipates over time. No one's given any sort of time frame about it. But your body, you could be going through long COVID because you have shots and boosters, because your body continues to make the spike protein that your body is trying to fight.
So you basically put yourself through it longer by getting the, theoretically you could.
Right. While the narrative continues to be, well, if I didn't get my 12th booster, boy, would my COVID really have been bad. No, stop it.
Yeah, that's that. Not. Mm-hmm. So when they say they're investing in three new ones.
No, thanks.
So technically what you're describing to me is a therapeutic.
Yeah.
So that's technically, by the scientific definition, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. It's definitely not a vaccine.
No. I wouldn't even say it's a therapeutic, honestly. I mean, that's the closest thing we can call it. But I don't even think it's a therapeutic.
Really.
I don't know what the benefits are.
Like ivermectin was a therapeutic. Oh, we can't say that on YouTube because the YouTube fascists get all butt hurt. And the button pushing baristas who work at YouTube are like, I guess we're going to try to demonetize you, Dana. You know what I really want to tell you to do? I want to tell you to do something unflattering to yourself. That's what I want to say. No one can hear me. Just in case they can, though. That's what they can do to themselves. So it's three new things that are not going to work. Okay.
And how do they even know the variant that we're supposed to be experiencing in this particular season and then the next one? Because that's really what the vaccine's supposed to prevent.
That's what I was just thinking of how I was going to ask you that. Like, so do they know what's coming? Because, okay, so that's what they get wrong with the flu shot.
Man,
I don't get flu shots. I've gotten a flu shot, like when I was younger, in my entire life, I've gotten three flu shots. And every time I got the flu shot, I got the flu.
Yeah.
All the times that I didn't get a flu shot, I never got the flu. That's just my lived experience.
I got the shot once for the flu, and this was back in 2010. Got the flu. Haven't had the flu.
I got the flu so bad one year when I got the flu. It was our first year moving here, and I was like, maybe I guess I'll get it. I don't know. And I had the flu so bad. Like, Glenn Beck, who I worked with at the time, was so concerned. He was calling, like, do you need to go to the hospital? Like, I'm going to courier over, what did he say? Like, some stuff. It was like a Z, what is it? Z-Pack? Is it Z-Pack?
Yeah.
I'm going to courier this over. I'm going to have a courier bring it over. You know, I need keep me up to because I had like a super high that fever. I had like 103 degree fever. It was so bad. And it spiked up even higher than that. Like it got really bad. Like I was in an ice bath. It was so bad. And that was like the worst I've never been as sick as when I had the flu that time. Right. And we moved down here. I had never been so sick in my life. And it took me like weeks to fully recover. I was off air for like a week and a half. And then when I went back on air, I was so weak. It was so bad. And I had a stupid, you know, that's supposed to, but you know why it doesn't work? Now, what they say why it doesn't work is because
someone else didn't get it.
Well, yeah, that. But because, you know, they just got to gamble the strain. They got to gamble on what strain it's going to be. Right. They just don't know. So, which brings me back. I'm bringing the tugboat back to shore in a long way. But how do they know what strain it's supposed to be?
Unless they're the ones.
It's just a cold. It's just a bad cold. Why are we acting like, oh my gosh, it's a novel virus that's so bad. It's something brand new to get freaked out about. Oh my gosh. I'm so tired of getting freaked out about stuff.
Well, if they're the ones delivering the viruses to us, then they absolutely would know what's coming.
There's not enough rum in the world to have me deal with this in a friendly fashion. I'm so done with it. We're going to have your potions master friend on later. Can you like tap two sticks together and set some stuff on fire? And does it make all the bad germies go away? Baddies go away?
I was going to say a great question, but that's a question. And I'll ask him.
It's a brilliant question.
Is it brilliant?
I don't want to sound disrespectful.
Slapping two sticks together was
I don't know. What do people do? Like, okay. What the hell do you have over here? If I rub that bottle that you have, does a genie come out of it?
No, it's not a bottle. It's an incense warmer. It warms the wood.
You've got to set it on fire.
No fires.
But you,
this is an electric warmer, so it raises the temperature.
But that doesn't burn the wood.
No, it does. It actually heats the oils and the resins in the wood.
I feel like that's shenanigans.
Fragrant, so they become fragrant as opposed to, say, a pollutant.
You don't set it on fire. So if it's on fire, it's polluting?
Is it not smoking when it's on fire?
I don't. But that's what you want, right?
No, you don't want the smoke. You want the fragrance.
You get it from the fire.
No, you don't get it from the fire. You get it from the actual resins and the oils in the wood.
I do think it's annoying when long story. It's Friday. You guys don't care. I went to this. Don't sit here and be like, I'm going to make a bougie speakeasy, and then I'm only going to serve drinks that have a cup of sugar per drink. I can't stand that. I'm not a sugary type person. Like I have like hardly any sugar in my, if I smell a Snickers bar, I'm going to freak out and like be like Beavis and just, you know, short circuit. I'm not going to be able to deal with it. And, I get it's a cool concept, but if you're going to do a cool concept, don't spend all your money just on the concept and the interior. Make sure you hire like decent bartenders. Don't sit here and be like, it's my mixologist. Shut up. It's a bartender. It's a skill. It is a skill. I mean, kudos to our bartenders out there, because I see you, like, I know what y'all deal with, particularly this time of the year. I had, you know, my family ran not a bar. It was in the Ozarks. It was a tavern. That's the best way to say it. No, for real. That's the best way to say it. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had a motorcycle gang that taught me how to play pool. That's a real story. For real. For real. R-I-L-L. For real. But long story short, so I know a little bit, and I don't like there's like so much performance that goes into it, and it's like less quality. Does that make sense? But at one of these places that we went to, and this is how we got into this whole conversation in the first place last year, they brought out a little stick of wood, and then they put a rosemary sprig on it, and they set it on fire in this little stone trough. And it smelled really good. And I was like, ooh, that smells, you know, being a total chick. I'm like, ooh, that smells festive. Can I just burn things in my house too? And they're like, no, Palo Santo. I don't know. It's like some potion stick. And I know rosemary because I cook. And it's rosemary. And I was like, I don't know what this wood is. But so I was looking online to order some of that. I did not know that was like a whole thing that people argue about. Are you a part of like a community where you argue about the quality of the wood?
No, I'm not.
Oh my gosh.
I am not.
There's so many things to worry about in life. I do not have time to go and read literally 42 pages on Reddit about this Palo Santo is better than that one. No, it's not. Yes, it is. This is why. And I can't. Oh my gosh.
Well, I brought in frankincense too. And frankincense is.
You brought in Jesus's presence.
I did. And frankincense is just the sap of the tree dried. Right?
Okay, here's my question. Will your potions master friend know this? I'm going to ask this question.
Sure.
who first was like, what's that goo coming out of the tree? Let's burn it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure forest fires were a thing even back then. So
they were like, fragrance?
That smell is coming from somewhere.
Trees crying, but it smells so great.
Look at that leaky tree.
Ooh, Leaky Tree. That's the name of a bar.
Leaky Tree.
Should be. I can also name bars along with bands. This show has a point today.
It does.
We really do. But I'm like so close to, you know, I'm hosting a Christmas party. We got our radio people in. Steve's in the studio. I can't really see them because it's kind of dark over there. I don't know what they do in the shadows. They just go over there and they hiss. I don't know. Like, they just all gang up over there and all I hear is, it's just.
What? Showing each other beats.
Yeah, they show each other memes. That's it. Oh my gosh. All right. So I had, I was going to get into something. We're going to have we always do a potions master check-in.
And then we have the top 10 fictional band names of 2023 coming up as well.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, I think I put it as number one.
I think I have a favorite, but I can't remember what it is.
Actually, a lot of them are favorites.
But I'm like, I know every time I'm like, that's my favorite. And then another one, nope, that's my favorite. I don't know how many I can have, but anyway.
I wonder, of all the years we've been doing this, how many bands have actually adopted any of our names to name themselves?
No, because I want all of them.
We need, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll.
We need that concert t-shirt.
We do. All right. We have I'm actually not hitting half of the stuff that I had on my rundown for you today. This is becoming problematic. We got it. I wanted to get into at some point the guy. There was a dude who knocked the head off the devil statue that they put up in Iowa. Did you hear this guy? He was like this Christian dude who went up there and all the devil worshipers are like, that's so mean what you did to the devil statue. You knocked his head off. It's so hateful. I'm fascinated. So I'm going to try to hit that here in between talking about potions. All right. As we get moving, ladies and gents.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So if you like junk food, apparently you're supposed to blame your Neanderthal ancestor? Or no, blame the Black Death. Scientists claim that the plague killed 60% of Europeans changed mouth bacteria. Yeah, and it led to the love of junk food. It's the second plague pandemic of the mid-14th century, known as the Black Death. And it caused all kinds of nastiness. And they said that they studied calcified dental plaque from skeletons. And they revealed that the dominant bacteria found in mouse today is linked to low fiber, high carb diets, as well as dairy consumption. And they said that the events such as the Black Death trigger the dominance of this bacteria. Changes to diet and hygiene throughout the plague are thought to have affected the oral microbiome. This is too close to Christmas for me to be pretending to be interested in science.
You need a healthy probiotic level.
You know why I put that on your Renaissance drawing, right? Mm-hmm. So they said they looked at the teeth of all these people buried at archaeological sites, and they found all these microbial species, and they came. I'm not even pronouncing this one. They said that the other bacteria, Methanobrevidobacter,
that sounds right.
That's right. Yeah. That's now largely considered extinct in healthy people. So they said that basically it changed everything. The Black Plague did. That's very interesting. Let's see here. Oh, no. 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 I don't want to read any of these. Oh, no. So this is a story about the worst brand slogan of 2023. It's a bicycle rental company called Toot Toot. And their slogan was, put the fun between your legs. That's the worst brand slogan, they said, of 2023. By the rental company Toot Toot. The bicycle rental company. I would also think that's probably maybe the worst company name.
Right.
Yeah. So coming up, I don't know what. It's potions mastering and... I don't know. It's Christmas. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, maybe I'm sitting here when we come back. Let's see.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why this song cracks me up. Wonderful Christmas time. Paul McCartney. Wangs. It's just so, this song cracks me up. But it's like part of the whole Christmas feel. Yep. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Watch the simulcast. Channel 347 DirecTV. I'm staring at this thing. We're going to dive into this. Kane, it smells, I think it smells like soap. You're like, that's clean. He's trying to, I don't know what things smell like. I'm like the worst scent. It's like a sommelier of scents. I don't know. I'm like, that smells clean. That smells nice. So Kane brought in, you got it from your potions master friend. You brought in this, it looks like a genie's going to pop out of this thing. I put it up on Instagram and you're burning one of Jesus's presents in here.
Heating one of
Jesus's presents in here.
That's right.
The frankincense, which Steve says names after his uncle. And he's got all these little baggies. Dude, this could legit.
Little baggies.
Yeah, it's
you're
like.
You're making it sound like this is like a
He's got
drug
some
deal.
Dime bags some of some wooden stuff up in here.
Illegal thing. And yeah. It's not. It's not at all.
But that actually smells good.
It's very good.
You this did is, not have this thing last
this
year.
This is just take it with. This is what Jesus was smelling in the manger.
I mean, I'm. I get, yeah, I mean, maybe not in that little cute thing. Right. That's a little cutie thing that you got it in there. Okay, let's get to business. We talked about this last year because I just want to warn you guys, 2024, we're going to start out with a kick in the neck, okay? Yeah. Like when we all come back here on January 3rd, you guys are going to get punched in the face with all this stuff going on. I want you to be prepared. So over this Christmas season, we're like, I don't normally focus on wellness and stuff because I don't care. But I mean, that smells good. And I, you know, I'm just, let's talk about it. How do we clean up all of that and just have it to where I just shook like a Muppet for people who are not watching and have it, you know, where we're cleansed of all of the stupidity of the past year. And so John Launis he's a literal potions master. I mean, he's got like all professional. I could say he's like president of this core advertising group and he's got very important titles. But I legit would be like potions master and only goes that. He is literally like, let me read this, a certified master. Like you can get certified for this. In the ancient Japanese tradition of Kodo, the way of incense, for over a decade. And he holds the rank of a Komoto. Yeah. That is a literal Japanese master of incense ceremony.
That's right.
That's a literal thing. See, he's a actual potions master.
Yeah, well, potions isn't exactly accurate.
It's just a fun word.
Right.
Yeah. And John joins us now via Skype. John, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for joining us again. So first off, that you had to go through like a whole thing to get certified in all of this. King keeps flicking the scent to me.
So real quick, when I was 9 years old, I started studying martial arts and world incense traditions. Then when I was 13, I trained under a certified master in the way of incense. It's called Kodo for a period of 10 years. So I've been doing incense for over 40 years now.
You could run Bath and Body Works out of business, basically. You could totally do that.
Yeah, but you know, you're talking about like getting rid of all these emotions and what have you. I mean, what you're really accessing, what you're talking about is the limbic system, which is that part of our body, a part of our brain that really controls the emotions. And so, you know, we could be working on the hypothalamus, on the amygdala, on the thalamus, on the hippocampus without getting into too big of words, right? But
it's there's like also science-y.
Yeah, well, so you were just having that experience with the frankincense. You're like, it smells good. And you started to relax and you started to maybe have less kind of, you know, negative thoughts or thoughts that are moving around that. Well, that's what I do for people internationally, celebrities, businesses, and individuals. But it's a way to center the mind and deal with all the chaos that we deal with every day, and especially in the world of politics. I don't know if you know anything about that.
So you're telling me that they need more of this on Twitter.
I think so. Oh, you know what? And by the way, when I was on your show last year, the amount of just hate that came at me when I was literally talking about gifts for baby Jesus. I mean, it was amazing to me.
They need more of Jesus's gifts because this, you smell the, what is that? The frankincense? Yeah. And it's, you're like, you're chill. I hate that you had to do that. Like you can't even tweet anymore because of these people. Didn't you leave Twitter?
I did. Well, I mean, I still have an account, but I mean, it's like, it was just amazing to me. Like, I'm on your show. We're having this wonderful conversation about the use of frankincense and myrrh. And it was amazing. Like, just the amount of names I got called, names that have nothing to do with any. That's okay. That's okay. Listen. I'm a strong big boy. I can handle it. And I've got scent on my side. You know what I mean?
I love it. I got scent on my side. You just burned some of Jesus's gifts and you feel better. Why were those? We're talking to John Lanas, who's literally like a master of this stuff. There's a lot of, I mean, there's like a whole certification here. Why those specifically were ended up being so popular and sort of like now forever a part of human history? The frankincense, the myrrh, I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly. Myrrh?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, you
that's
are.
Right.
Yeah, you're saying it right. So the research suggests that the wise men would have been Zoroastrian priests.
Yeah.
And they held a lot of the information around health and wellness. And so frankincense, for example, the Mayo Clinic and other very large medical organizations are beginning to really use frankincense to help the body with a number of things, lung issues, arthritis, et cetera. And so frankincense not only calms the mind, clears the mind, but it also helps. It's an antibacterial and antimicrobial. And so it's healthy. So with myrrh, same kind of thing, but you can actually you can eat myrrh, you can eat frankincense. And so it's a way to really have the body be cleansed inside and out in a very short explanation.
That's like brilliant. Can you burn too much of it? Or, well, you're not. He's not. I should know. Kane's not burning it. And he keeps telling me that over and over again. He's like, I'm not burning it, Dana. That's more pollute. That's not going to a real word. Pollute-y?
Pollute-y. I like that. Yeah. So in short, it's like this, is that most incense in America is synthetic. It's filled with a whole bunch of things that are not pure. Therefore, when you're burning that, you can get, you know, indoor air pollution. But if you're warming all natural fragrances, there is benefit in the aromatic medicine as it languished in one way. But by warming it, you're minimizing the amount of smoke and you're maximizing the fragrance and all the chemicals that come along with it that help, again, calm the mind, have us recenter within ourselves to be able to deal with the chaos of the world.
We're talking with John Lanas, who's like an expert in, basically he could run all the Scentsy, the Bath and Body Works, all those people out of business. I just find this fascinating. So this, you made a very good point with the, I guess some of like the chemicals and stuff that they can put in some of the manufactured stuff. So you got to be like really picky about where you get your stuff from.
Yeah, there's only three companies that I currently use in the entire world.
Wow.
Yeah, and so these are things that I have vetted over the 40 years of teaching and training and leading groups. I mean, like, we literally do this for corporations. We do this for individuals. We do this for people of note. And it's an incredible experience. It's called the Incense Journey. And you're getting your own sense of it through Kane in the studio. But you'll notice that you don't have as much anxiety, maybe, as you normally do when you're in the presence of that. So imagine every day being able to really have more control over your mind to be able to then put the attention where you need to put it when you need to put it there.
Do you have to send like special people out to get this stuff? Because like some of this, I don't even know where you get some. Where does one get frankincense? Like where? It's not like, yeah, it's not like it grows wild and I don't even know. It's a tree, right? It's sap or it's sap.
It is it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So frankincense is a tree. If you imagine the continent of Africa and you drew a very thin line across the top of Africa, that is where frankincense grows and it, other places as well, but close to there. So what happens is that three times a year, they actually cut into the tree, causing the sap to come out and then to dry. And then you're taking that off. And so frankincense is an autoimmune reaction to, danger with the tree or some kind of a damage.
It's the tree.
Same thing
sadness.
With myrrh. Yeah. So let's look a little bit at the Egyptian tradition. So the Egyptians talked about frankincense as being sweat of the gods. So when you hold up frankincense, it looks like if you were to take sweat and then, you know, amalgamate it into a resin. But the point is that it has connotations with the sun. It has connotations with a number of things, but because it elevates our consciousness, it literally focuses us in a way different from everything else. That's why it's been praised and used for thousands of years.
So this was like a really nice gift that these Zoroastrian priests brought Jesus. This was like like going to Neiman's and getting one of those big old fancy once-in-a-lifetime gifts. Like the, what they brought him was like pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, at the time, frankincense would have been double in value of gold.
Oh, my gosh. And they brought a lot. I mean, I don't remember exactly how much they brought, but they brought quite a bit. That's amazing. Yeah. Double the value in gold of gold. That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, well, and just like we talked about last year, we also saw that frankincense, and well, actually myrrh specifically, shows up at the crucifixion. So we have incense at the birth and the death of Jesus, which is very symbolic. And so the whole idea is that if we just take the night before the crucifixion, when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with spikenard, very costly. Spikenard is another incense. In this case, it was an oil, but it will literally relax you deeper than anything else you've ever had. So what Mary was doing for Jesus and the disciples was to relax them and really to have them commune and be in the same space together the day before the crucifixion.
Wow, that is amazing. I did not know that. That is absolutely amazing. John Lawness, who I'm afraid to give everybody your Twitter account now because people out there are such jerks. They need to burn more incense and chill out is what they need to do. I so appreciate you joining us on this. And I just think that's very cool. Where can people find you and like find your recommendations and stuff? What's a good place to go?
Yeah. So what I would do is I would go to Instagram. It's at Shehan_wellness. So okay. Shehan_wellness. You can connect with me there. You can also send an email to shehanwellness@gmail.com. And then we'll go from there.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for doing this. And I want to add, too, that John also works with veterans and he helps work with helps to manage their PTSD and all of that stuff. So you do a lot of great, great stuff for folks. So thank you so much for doing that and for joining us today. We'd love to have you back. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dana. Thanks, Dana.
Merry Christmas.
Have a good holiday. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Bye. It smells great. It smells, it's very chill. It's not like, it's not like I'm walking into like an old hippie's house. It's very clean.
Yeah, it's clean and it doesn't like overpower. Even
it's very soapy.
Yeah, it's very it's light.
Because like you know those like a lot of people get those oil plugins that they put on their walls. One of my friends had to repaint her whole living room because it was one of those Bath and Body Works oil things, and it even got on like the stone on her fireplace. It literally changed the. You know how like if somebody's a smoker, and they get nicotine on their walls and all that stuff. It's like it's very much similar to what the oil that was putting off. She had to repaint everything because of that stuff. And so now she says she just burns the Palo Santo? Palo Santo. Yeah, very interesting. All right, we're going to wrap up our last broadcast of the year because coming up, we have our top band names of the year. That's how we're going to be ending the show.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
All right. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. It's our last broadcast of this year, 2023, and we are back behind the mic on January 3rd. Now, one of the things that we do all throughout the year, I don't know when we started this, 10 years ago, is I'm really good at naming bands and apparently also bars. But we, you know, all of this came out of just the daily news cycle from the past year. So it's like, you know, you'll hear a phrase and you're like, man, that sounds like a great band name. So Kane adds it to the list. And so we've made, and by we, he's made a top 10 list of the top 10 fictitious band names of 2023. Kane?
Yes, ma'am. And by the way, there was like 50 or 60. We average about one a week on the show every year. And so out of that 50 to 60, I have to whittle it down to these.
This is my favorite one, I think.
These fabulous 10. And then we have some honorable mentions as well. So at number 10, drum roll, please. Number 10 is Liquid Meth.
Yes, Liquid Meth. I love them.
Liquid Meth. They're your favorite?
They're one of my favorites. Yes, love Liquid Meth. I don't even know if you can liquefy meth, but it's great. I mean, the name, not like the meth.
Can you liquefy meth?
I don't know. I don't know how the meth is done.
Don't know either.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Number 9 is Personal Riot.
Yes. I do this daily. Personal Riot.
That's true. You do.
Everybody should have their own personal riot.
Absolutely do.
Going to have a personal riot right here in Walmart.
Number 8 needs a little bit of an explanation. This one is...
Does it, though?
Number 8 is Big Gay Baby.
Yes, I love Big Gay Baby. BGB, what? Now, what is this, though?
This is when we were doing the story on the trans people. Dude, doing their
Who literally will shows. Also appropriate an age. Like, not only will like a 60-year-old dude say that he's a chick, but then he'll be like, oh, not just any chick, a 10-year-old chick.
Exactly, or a 6-year-old or something.
BGB, big gay baby.
Oh, boy. Mm. All right, that was number 8. Number 7.
Love that one.
Lesbian dudes. Lesbian dudes.
That sounds like, what's that one lesbian duo where they sing that one song, Galileo? Oh, man, what is it?
Sarah?
No.
Indigo Girls.
Indigo Girls, thank you. Yeah. That's like an Indigo Girls cover band. So it's like two people who just do Indigo Girls songs. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's lesbian dudes.
All right, that was number 7. Uh-huh. Number 6. Seizing the pounce.
Which is appropriate after lesbian dudes.
Seizing the pounce.
Seizing the pounce. Yeah, because that happens often with the pounce.
Yeah, that's how the media treats us.
I need to shut up and let you just do your thing.
Seizing the pounce. Number 5, First Lady Deathmatch.
Yes!
First Lady Deathmatch.
I want that patch.
That sounds like a fun time.
This one's interesting.
Yeah, number 4, I think we know where this came from. And this was your, this isn't actually, this was you.
Sounds like a sandwich.
This was you. Just so you know, this is all you. Frankenginer.
Well, in my defense, that's what happens if you have like the mutilation surgery. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Wow. That was number 4.
We got 3 more.
Number 3, fatal sound pollution. Uh-huh. Fatal sound pollution.
Yeah.
Number 2, illicit meat.
Oh, I love it.
We had that one just yesterday.
I love it.
And the number one, Phil.
Drum roll.
The fanfare. Drum roll. All of it, please. Playground Warlord.
Yay, the best. Playground Warlord. And their first album is Hour Long Mauling.
Oh, my favorite.
Mm.
All right, I think I have time to mention these last few. Missing Biscuits.
Flag Team Rejects.
Bobcat Attack.
Rat Czar.
Those are the honorable mentions.
There you go. All right, folks, that's our last broadcast of the year. A big thank you to Phil for filling in. Steve, Juan, Kane, the Radio America folks, Lorraine, and all the people on YouTube. Thank you guys all so much for supporting us this past year, and we cannot wait to bring you so much more funness and new content coming up in 2024. You guys are a blessing to me. I love you guys. I'll be back with you on January 3rd.